come for the news, stay for the pancakes. The Attorney Tom Ganim, Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour is back on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
And joining us now, we are here in Norwalk at the Silver Star Diner on Connecticut Avenue. It is our second stop for the Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour this summer. We have the Deputy Chief for the Fire Department, Joe Coppola, joining us live at the diner. Where's your coffee?
I got it right here.
Oh, you have it. Oh, I didn't even see it there. Good Lord, I didn't even see it. You know, got the microphones blocking us. Well, I'm so glad that you are here and joining us for our diner tour here in Norwalk. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I mean, we love our firefighters. We really do. How long have you been in the fire industry?
I've been in the fire department for, not Norwalk, but all in about 40 years. I started as when I was 16 years old as a volunteer and in Stanford. And then I got hired in Norwalk in 1996 and been there ever since. Love it. It's a great department.
Really? So even as a teenager, what attracted you to becoming a firefighter?
Actually, it's a generational thing. I'm third generation. So my father and my grandfather and then me and my brother as well.
That's amazing. Yeah. And so where are you? You said you weren't with Norwalk from the start. So, you know, where are you from originally?
From Stanford.
Oh, okay.
And I grew up in Stanford, and my my family's been involved in Belltown Fire Department.
Sure.
It's probably since early, you know, probably mid-1900s.
Wow.
So, and yeah, so it was a family thing. And I followed my father's footsteps and, you know, his father and my brother did as well, so it's been a family thing for us, definitely.
I mean, you're sort of on the spot because we're literally in Norwalk and you're the deputy chief, but do you like working in Norwalk or do you ever kind of wish you continued in Stanford?
No, absolutely not. When you're trying to get on the fire department, you take tests and you try to get on, and I always had my eye on Norwalk because it's a good city, they're busy, and there's a lot of opportunities for promotion. You know, a lot of activity. It's not a boring job, so I love it. I have no regrets about
it at all. I love that. I love it. So when did you become the deputy chief?
My anniversary of my promotion is just about a year. I started June 1st of 23. It's a competitive exam process, and, you know, a bunch of us took the test, and I came out the top of the list, and I took the position.
That's amazing. So it's been very busy, to say the least, especially in Norwalk. It was only a few weeks ago that the major I-95 bridge collapse happened. Everything was shut down. Tell us about responding to events like that.
Well, that one in particular, that was a very crazy morning. You know, yeah. Obviously, where it happened and where the truck actually stopped was crazy. So it was, you know, right near the firehouse. So the people, the crews that were working saw it right away. So it wasn't.
It was explosive.
Yeah,
it was massive when you see that video.
When gasoline burns like that and it starts to heat up, it continues to burn. The guys and girls did a fabulous job. I mean, they got there quickly. They had two separate fires. A lot of people don't realize there was actually a fire before the truck fire. It kind of gets put a little bit you know, kind of aside, but they had to kind of fight that fire, which was a car and a tractor trailer before they can actually get to the
fuel. Oh, you don't really
truck.
Hear about that.
Yeah.
No, because it obviously wasn't the, you know, the big collapse explosion thing. So
right.
I didn't even realize that. Wow.
Yeah. So there was actually, you know, when they got there was a tremendous amount of fire and there was fuel that was actually burning on the ground. So they had to extinguish that because there was people stopped. Obviously cars were stopped. They couldn't get through. So they were there and, so everyone did a fabulous job. It just everyone reverted back to their training. You know, I happen to be the training director as well, so I was really proud of the people that morning and what they did. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of out of the box thinking was done. It was near the firehouse, so we had
thank God.
Yeah, I know. So we were able to kind of we cut a hole in our own fence and you know, shuttled equipment and people down to the highway safely. And it was a great effort. I mean, I think it's important to mention too that not only was it a fire department event, it was really a multi, you know, agency event. And the way that everyone worked so smoothly together was pretty amazing. Police department, state police, EMS, us. We had mutual aid partners from Stanford. The whole region really had something to do with it.
Yeah.
And also, I thought was interesting is we had a really good rapport with DOT. That morning, they were a very big player in the event, and So they, you know, they had bridge, you know, bridge people out watching what was going on. And, you know, the fact that they were able to do what they did with the highway so quickly was just amazing. You know, getting it open again by Sunday morning was, you know, just amazing. So.
Actually, that kind of leads me to a question I wasn't thinking about before. But, Joe, tell us how, when you have such a chaotic scene and you're talking about so many different players having to respond to that, how does that work? You know, behind the scenes a little bit, how do you guys all kind of get on the same page at some point, especially like you're mentioning DOT, that's not really an entity you have to work with too often. So how do you make that work as smoothly as it did?
That's actually a great question. One of the things that we do is we have something called Incident Command System, ICS. So what ICS does is it puts everybody, all the player. We have like a command board. It's like a gigantic dry erase board, and we just keep track of everybody who's there, where the incident is, you know, who's left to do something, who's in staging, who's coming, what resources we have, and all that stuff is kind of managed at a command post. And the command post, the incident commander, and it's a deputy chief. And the deputy chief that morning did a fabulous job of doing of setting that up, knowing where everything is. And it is chaotic. It's very hard when you have, you know, members from other departments coming in. Stanford was here. They were like our key player in it. They brought us extra foam. They brought us a lot of resources.
Wow.
Hazmat people. So you know, the effort was just huge. And the way that was kept track of was using incident command. And then another layer of that, when you have an incident of that magnitude, now you have, like, you know, state people involved. The governor wants answers to questions. So we were able to set up a almost like a larger version of that. And it's called the Emergency Operations Center. And we usually use the firehouse for that. We have an EOC in our firehouse.
Okay.
But due to the fact that the traffic was the way it was, basically gridlocked on Route 1 in front of the firehouse, we actually elected to make that. We put that at our apparatus maintenance shop, which is across the street from across the highway.
Okay.
So they use that, and all of the key, you know, decision makers and stakeholders and players went there, and they kind of set up an incident command. It's not really a command post; it's more of an emergency operations center.
Yeah, sure.
And that's where all of the, you know, all the media information goes to. That's where all the, you know, the requests for resources, like large resources, mm-hmm. like, you know, the people that are going to basically open the highway again, those
right.
types of things.
So many moving parts.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It worked well. I mean, it really did. I was very impressed with everything. I'm a safety officer, so my job really was safety there and, you know, watching the bridge and making sure people weren't walking underneath it on the highway. And we were working with state police and everything. So it was major thing.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. And again, we have the deputy chief for the fire department here in Norwalk. Joe Coppola is joining us. We're going to continue the conversation. I want to talk about a lot of the things that are going on in Norwalk. So that obviously was not planned. Certainly,
no.
No one saw that
no.
coming.
No.
Right. Nobody saw that coming. But we do know that there's kind of a building boom, I would say, in Norwalk right now. And many people don't realize that the fire department is really a key player in making sure that things run smoothly and that people are protected, kind of like that backup system. So we have Deputy Fire Chief Joe Coppola here with us in Norwalk. Yes, we are live at the Silver Star Diner for stop number 2 right here on Connecticut Avenue, right off of exit 14 off of I-95. We're just talking about the I-95. I'm going to call it the saga from a few weeks back. It's just neat to get a behind the scenes look at sort of the chaos, but how it was very controlled and how you guys handled it in such a timely fashion. I think it's important that people know that. I was also curious about this, but when you look at, for example, explosive fires like the one that happened that day, how do firefighters manage that in such a, like, how did that could have spread easily? I feel like I never understand how you guys are able to control such huge events like that.
Yeah, it comes down to an acronym that we use. It's LIP: Life Safety, Incident Stabilization, and Property Conservation. So the first thing we do is we make sure there's no life involved, right? No life hazard involved. That incident, amazingly, there was...
Insane. I still can't believe
there
that.
There was no initial life hazard.
Right.
I mean, there was concerns going forward just because of the volatility of the fuel burning.
Sure.
The bridge possibly collapsing under the heat of the fire. But, yeah, it was... We always use that first. So once you rule out a life hazard, now it's kind of like you take a breath, and now you're about incident stabilization. So that part of it was huge because now we had fuel on the ground. We had an environmental impact. We had, possibility of, bystanders walking around, things like that. So that stabilized the incident. And not only that, putting the fire out. Putting the fire out, stable. When you do that, everything gets better. As soon as the fire's out, all the hazards, not all the hazards, but the big hazards gone. And we had a lot of, we had a really good resource. King Industries in Norwalk is a chemical company in Norwalk that we have a good relationship with. And they brought us some resources. And one resource they brought us is this little truck they have. It's like a quick attack foam truck. And they drove it up to the highway.
So cool.
At our request, on a phone call. And, those guys really did save the day. I mean, we were doing our best to put the fire out, but it's gasoline burning, And
right.
We were applying foam. We have foam, green foam. Everyone's worried about PFASs and things like that. And our foam right now is all green. There's no PFAS or anything like that. And we started that operation, but with that amount of fuel burning, we had to have more. So
yeah.
We had that, and it was a home run. They got there, and, the fire foam... Fire is no match for foam. Once foam gets on a fire like that, a flammable liquids fire, it goes out. Mm-hmm. So that was the incident stabilization part of it. And then the property conservation is just, we were worried about the waterways. There's a catch basin off 95 that has a filtration system which doesn't allow certain things to get out into the waterways. So that was checked. We had DEEP, Department yep. of Energy and Environmental Protection there, and they were helping us out with that. And they had... we had vessel PD and DEP and Coast Guard had vessels on the water, making sure there was no, impact of the sound. So it's just like I said, that's the environmental part, and that's the property conservation part.
Right. There's just so many layers to it. Yeah. It's really wild. I just think it's so, to me, very enlightening to understand that, like that behind the scenes.
It just comes down to those three things, Once the life hazard, everyone wants to know, is anyone hurt? Anyone, when we first got there, we really did think that there was going to be fatalities.
Sure. As a news reporter, I thought the same thing.
At it and just to see that there wasn't, was huge. We had one firefighter had a leg injury. Mm-hmm. That's very common, things like that, a trip and fall. He's okay, okay. But that was really the only notable injury on the scene. So.
Amazing. And I do know that you were saying the Norwalk Fire Department is pretty busy right now, especially because there's really like a building boom going on in Norwalk. Tell us about that.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Norwalk is undergoing a tremendous amount of building around the city. I could name you a couple of very large projects that are going on right now. One of them is the walk bridge.
Is
going on, and that's the Metro North Bridge in South Norwalk that's being completely replaced from a bridge that's over 100 years old into a new modern bridge. And with that, they're doing a lot of, they didn't even start building the bridge yet, but they've been working for, 2 years already?
Wow.
So the site work that needs to be done there is tremendous, and there's a lot of hazards there. There's confined space hazards. There's machinery hazards. So we've been partnering with the safety people there. They have a safety division. They have safety people on site all the time, every day. And we've been doing a lot of joint training with them, which is great because it gives us a skill. It reinforces our skills, but also prepares for what might happen when we get there. So that's been really good. We've been doing confined space training with them, victims in the water type training. We have a Marine Division Norwalk Fire, and they have boats in the water all the time. They have scuba divers there. So we've been doing some training with them, and that's a really good opportunity. The Norwalk High School is going to be rebuilt, so they're starting the site work on that. So I've been talking to the safety people there about some of the things they're going to be doing, and just at this point, we're worried about access, what they're doing, what kind of machinery is being used, so we could kind of pre-plan for what might happen. I think another notable construction project is along West Avenue. I don't know if you noticed the large apartment buildings that
yes.
are going in that area.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And there's one that's about a city block large. It's four in the 400 block of West Avenue.
Wow.
That's under construction, and across the street where the old YMCA used to be, there's a new project going on. That's going to be another apartment building. So with this amount of building going on, not only is it going to bring more people in, but while they're building it, there's a tremendous amount of hazards to the construction workers. They take all the proper precautions. We know they do. We actually have been out there and visited the building, took a look at it, see what the hazards are, access points, things like that. And so, yeah, I mean, the amount of building going on right now, we're doing our best to keep up with it. And, you know, we're a well-staffed department.
I was going to ask that. How are your numbers?
Are.
You guys are
we
okay?
Are. Yeah, we're a well-staffed department. For what I see, you know, regionally and across the, not across the country, but across our part of the country.
Yeah.
I think we're doing pretty well. I
mean, that's good.
We could always use more. You know, we always can use more help, for sure. You know, but our city's well protected, and we have very adequate resources that we send to situations like that. And not only that, equipment-wise, not only personnel, but our equipment is top-notch. So
that's
amazing. We're pretty lucky with that. But those are like three. I think I really can't think of any other large projects going on, but I'm sure there are.
They're
just building everywhere.
I know. It's so true. It really is a very active, busy city, but it sounds like they've got a fire department that has its back, and we love that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. I'm very confident in our people and what they're able to do. I've seen it, and that the incident we just talked about was one of those times where so much out-of-the-box thinking by every layer, not just incident command, but all the way down to the firefighters, you know.
Yeah,
the,
you could tell.
Yeah, it was a good effort.
It really was. It was a beautiful thing. I would be proud too. I totally would. And Deputy Chief Jokopola, I want to thank you so much for the work that you do professionally, but also for sharing all of this here on WACC. Very insightful stuff.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah. Of course, you're welcome back anytime. I don't know how you felt. Was this okay?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, good. So he was a little nervous at first. And I think your wife is listening and maybe her workplace is listening.
Maybe.
So maybe, but no, now he's as red as an apple. But it's okay. I thought you did great.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joe Capola again, who is the deputy chief for the Norwalk Fire Department right here on WACC. We are going to go to our news, traffic, and weather at the bottom of the hour. And you are listening in to our diner tour here on Melissa in the Morning. We're live in Norwalk at the Silver Star Diner here on Connecticut Avenue.